I'm going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29 today, but I'm going to start. Jeremiah 29 is going to be my main text, but I'm going to start over in that passage that I read from you, John chapter 15, John chapter 17, verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. We're to be witnesses in this world. We're to be witnesses in this world at all times. We're always to be a witness in this world. You know, the message from Jeremiah is a message from God. God gave to Jeremiah. It's a letter, actually. Verse 4 starts the letter, and 29 and verse 1 lets you know that it's from Jeremiah to the people who are carried away to Babylon. And they got to Babylon, and they saw ungodly things. They had ungodly things happening to them. They were taking their children and they were bashing them against the mountains and the cliffs. And they were just doing ungodly things. Psalm 137. Verses 8 and 9 says, O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy to be the ones who repays you as you have served us. Happy the ones who takes and dashes your little ones against the rocks. A lot of times when we think of this world and this world that we live in, what we want to do is we want to isolate ourselves. We want to get all alone privately, and our message is just for us, and we want to say to the world in a quiet way, oh, your day's coming. Your day is coming. And oh, how I'd like to be the one that gets to repay you. Oh, that would be the case. The problem is that that's not the case. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to be in the world and representing Christ. Assimilation is the path of least resistance. Assimilation is where you look like the world and everything about it. Listen, when people gather with us, they ought to not come away smelling like the world. They ought to come away smelling like Christ. This assimilation is, I've written it down here, so I would say it, and I don't want to say it, but it's the coward's way out. It's the coward's way. It's the path of least resistance. I don't think that anybody would disagree with me. Our Christian roots are being scrubbed. Any religious references are being taken away, taken down, taken out. Do you know that I read this week? There are 100 schools in Texas that are closing. 100 schools in Texas closing this year. The church is in decline. It's in decline in its members. It's in decline in its dollars. And it's in decline, sadly, in its influence. We have lost whatever influence we had. Well, I can't say that's not completely and totally, but we've lost a bunch of it. And it's losing more every day. How do we share Christ in this world? I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you just so you'll know. Jeremiah 29 verse 1 says, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." This is his letter. I'm going to be reading from it. He's carried them away captive. He's destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple. He's carried them all away. So now verse 4. I'm going to read verse 4 and 20. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." Then I'm going to read verse 20. "Therefore hear the word of the Lord, all you captivity, whom I have sent to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Babylon." What I want you to take note of there, right at this point, is it is God who caused to be carried away from Babylon to Jerusalem. God caused them to be carried away. And then I want you to read over in verse 20. It is God whom I have sent, God does not send us anywhere into any situation where he has not equipped us to be ready and up to the challenge. He does not send us into these situations. We are sent. He doesn't bring us to the future we're not prepared for. He doesn't bring us into a situation that we can't completely comprehend. We may not comprehend it, but we're ready. You may think you're not, but you are. You may think you can't do it, but you can. Christ has equipped us to, we are here for such a time as this. And this culture that we live in is not to scare us. It is to encourage, equip, and empower us. We're sent. 2 Corinthians 15. I'll give you the wrong one first. So, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 20. I was there. 2 Corinthians 5. Let me start in 18, but 20 is the one I want. "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus." He's reconciled us. He's made our relationship right through Christ Jesus. "And has given us the ministry of reconciliation." He's given to us the ministry that man can be right with God through Christ. Now that is that God was in Christ, reconciling himself to the world, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, the verse I wanted. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, as we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." You and I are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador represents another kingdom. An ambassador represents another king. We have a kingdom. We belong to a kingdom. We have another leader, which is greater than any leader this earth could ever provide for us. And we are ambassadors for Christ. God has sent us into this world to tell the world that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He sent us. He sent us into the world. John 17:18 is just another says the same thing, really. Yeah, say it again. 17, 18. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. He does not pray that we'll be taken out of the world. We're not going to be taken out of the world. Not yet, anyhow. One day we will be. He's not going to take us out of this world just yet. But he has sent us into the world, and he is protecting us from the evil one. My friends, we are sent. We are ambassadors. We are for Christ. We are to tell this world that God was there in Christ Jesus, reconciling them to him through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, verse 5. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat their fruit. What does he mean by that? He means exactly what he says. You see, they're going to be there a while. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be here a while. It's my opinion that we're going to be here a while unless Christ comes. So we've got to be in this world. We're going to be in this world. You know, my original sermon today, I don't even know if I should say it, but I got to get it in there. So it was going to be about the Muslims, Islam. And I determined that I don't know enough about the Muslim faith to preach a sermon about it. But I do know this. You know, people are Christians in America just because they were born in America. They're Christians. I'm sure there are people born in Iran that are just like that. They're Muslim because that's where they were born. They're Muslim. And actually, right now, there is a resistance to the Muslim community. But I'm going to tell you what. When the push comes to shove, and they've got to line up with a particular side, they're Muslim, and they're going to line up with that side. But I saw a video one time. I saw it with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears. And this imam is in America. He's talking to them, and he goes, hundreds of them, hundreds in a hall, hundreds sitting all up next to each other in the pew, and just hundreds. And he says, how many of you would consider yourself right-wing radical Islamist? Of course, there's about five guys sitting right over here down front. They were giggling and everything. They all raised their hand, you know. And hundreds, no. Five guys raised their hand. And then the imam says, okay. He says, now how many of you believe what the Quran teaches, that homosexuals should be stoned? Every hand in that place went up. Every hand in that place went up. Now, I we think about these people coming to America and how that wouldn't work. It works. Dallas-Fort Worth area. I think it's Allen. I may be wrong. Large Muslim population. Very large. Very big. Sharia law. We're going to be here a while. And I'm afraid, even though we've got a president that's on our side, he can make some changes, But my friends, we ain't going back. We ain't going back. And so what we better do is we better learn to be in the world, but not of the world. We better learn to share the gospel in this world, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. Build houses, dwell in them. This is the sovereignty of God. We're living in it. The sovereignty of God as he sends us into this community, into this culture, into this nation. And he equips us. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, and that you may be increased there and not diminished. He says, raise your families. Raise your families in the world, but not of the world. What's that going to take? It's going to take strong fathers. Fathers. I'm saying it. Fathers. Fathers are going to have to step up and be fathers in this world. To be fathers to our families. And listen, there's all kinds of families, and some that we're going to have to help fill that gap of being fathers for. There's divorced families, single families, pregnant teen families. Some of them we're going to have to step up. But for where it can be had, the father who makes the child has got to be sure, then we've got to come alongside him and equip him to do it. He has got to be there and be in that family and raise those children in the ways that God would have them be raised. The fathers led in the Passover, and they led in teaching the children. That's right. They led, first of all, in the Passover. Your kids don't want to come to church. It's a fight. I know it's a fight. But there is a time that you can make them come to church. There's a time that you can make it happen. And you should. I'm if they come and they sit there with a sour face, I did it for many years, sat in the back, sour face. Do it. Do it. The fathers were also instrumental in teaching the children the Word of God. Now listen. No, I don't think so. Now I lost my train of thought. The fathers were instrumental in teaching the Word of God to the children. You fathers, you barely know the Word of God. How are you going to teach it to anyone? We need some strong fathers. We need some strong in the Word, but we need strong fathers. I keep thinking how I'm going to work this in, and I don't know. I know that I wish I had my time back. We had some good little devotionals in the morning, before school, before we would all get together and we would pray, and I'd pray for their little, bobos, and, we'd pray. We just do things like that. But as they got older, it got harder. And you know what? We let it go by the wayside. Dad, you get one shot. You get one shot. Make it count. Make that shot. Make it count for Jesus. Their 18 years is from here, from beginning to 18 years, It's nothing. It's nothing in compared to your life. Make it count for God. Dads, if we're going to be here, we're going to need strong fathers. And we're going to need to come alongside of those that don't have fathers, divorced, single, pregnant teens. We've got to raise up a group of people who know the word and who can't be led astray by the culture. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away from, to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. Pray for the peace of this city. I appreciate our men that gather every Monday morning at 5:30 and they pray. And every week, at least one, and usually more than one, will pray for our city. And we'll just pray that they'll come to know God. They'll be receptive to revival, that they'll be receptive to the word of God, to working in their lives, that they'll be hungry for that, and that they'll, that's what praying for the peace of your city means. It's praying for the shalom. You've heard of shalom, right? It's more than just peace, more than just the absence of fighting. It's peace. It's the entire being of it is in peace. We know that the only true peace comes in God and in Christ. And so when we're praying for the peace of that city, we're praying that they would come to know God. We pray that they will hunger for Him. They will hunger and thirst for righteousness. I get a lot of people up here. I shouldn't have started it like that, should I? Praying for things that don't matter. I don't want to say they don't matter. They matter to them. But what will it profit you if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? What will it profit you to gain the whole world? Verse 10, I'm wrapping up. Verses 10, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed and at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Listen for God's encouragement. Listen for it. He gives it. He gives it here. You're going to be here a while. Do you know what? I've equipped you for it. He's given it right here. He's listed it right here. Matthew 28, 20. And it's low. I don't want to get them wrong. And since the old stroke, 18:20. No, that's not it. That is not it. For where two or three gather in my name, that is not it. 28. Maybe that was it. 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Lo, I want to read this thing that it was in a book that I was reading about I was reading about this, and it's I cut off the page where it gives the author's name, so I'm sorry. I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace, as well as on the steeple of the church. I'm recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on the town garbage heap, at a crossroads so cosmopolitan they had to write his title in Hebrew and Latin and Greek, at the kind of place where cynics talk smut, thieves curse, soldiers gamble. Because that is where churchmen should be and what churchmanship should be about. In the world, but not of the world. Stand up with me if you would. I don't know where you are today. I know we've got to repent. Repent of our ungodliness. We've got some dads that need to repent and turn to Christ. We've got some older men that need to repent because they haven't shown the way and turn to Christ. We need to repent. I surrender all is what we're going to sing. You sing right now.